T-minus 1 minute. T-minus 50 seconds. T-minus 1 minute. T-minus 50 seconds. T-minus 40 seconds. T-minus 30 seconds. T-minus 20 seconds. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one, zero.
Own it, own it, own it, Kong. I own it. It did.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet.
Hey, 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 welcome to Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Of course, I'm your girl, Stephanie Hardy, host and creator of The Hardy Wrestling Podcast, host and writer for Women's Wrestling Talk, and color commentator for the Belladonna Division Battle Club Pro and Black Girl Magic 2022. And I'm so happy to be hosting, or I guess you could say guest hosting, the Women's Wrestling Army After Show that takes place every Thursday. Of course, I'm here in the absence of Shay, who could not be here this week, but we do send her well wishes and healing energy this week. But I'm so happy to be here with Miss Aisha, who I am working with for the very first time. So, Miss Aisha Watches, how are you, ma'am?
I am well. I was ready to give you an introduction and everything. I didn't have to do that. So, welcome. You had it. I was like, oh, get it, girl. Yes, I love it. I am doing well. And welcome, welcome, welcome to Women's Wrestling Army. We're so glad to have you. And yes, love to Shay. We will see you next week. And yeah, so welcome. How are you doing today? Before we get started, how's everything going?
Everything's going fine. You know, it's Thursday. This is my first time really doing a show outside. So this is my first time also doing a show this early, like in the day, like this, an after show. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to be here. So anytime I get to talk any form of women's wrestling, I'm always excited and happy about it. So I'm just glad to be here because I have wanted to watch Women's Wrestling Army for a while, but just never had the chance to really carve out the time to do it. So I'm happy to be here. Like it's exciting stuff.
Yay. Nice. So we are so glad to have you. Why don't we go ahead and get started on this episode, episode 31 of Women's Wrestling Army. It is a good one. It is a packed one. So why don't we go ahead and get started? Okay.
Well, yes, absolutely. And also, I want to say I'm sorry for swiping the intro from you. I did not get a chance to ask you who does what, but that's just sort of my instinct to just do the intro all the time. I apologize for that.
No, but I love it. I actually love it. It's like took the pressure off of me. So like, I am so glad that you're like, I'm gonna do it. I'm here for it. So yes, no need to apologize at all.
Yes. Yeah, so this is my first time watching this episode. So it was really good to see a lot of these women who I am and am not familiar with, you know, on a certain level. be on this show and sort of get these stories cracking and stuff. So, of course, first, we had a little bit of storytelling between The Hex, who is Marty Bell, and Allison Kay, who are, of course, best friends, going up against Team C-Stars, that's Delmi XO and Ashley Vox. Aisha, can you tell me a little bit about this story? Because I believe I missed this part while I was preparing to watch it because I was still trying to find the link to watch it. So can you tell me a little bit more about the story?
That's okay. So basically, the last time we saw The Hex, they were lamenting the fact that, in their opinion, the tag team titles or tag team matches, especially with women, like they're thrown together, right? Like they're not cultivated like The Hex is. Like we, every time, doesn't matter where they're, who they're, you know, up against, like we see that connection, we see that chemistry between Marty and between Allison because they've been friends for so long and because, you know, they've been tag team partners, not for a terribly long time, but long enough to know that they have great chemistry. And so they were basically saying that they don't see that anymore, that these wrestlers are thrown together and expected, you know, and expect to, that that's what makes them a tag team. And so they're like, no, like who is it? Who can we go up against? And of course, you know, then we have Delmi and Ashley from the C-Stars. And, you know, here we go. Here comes Maria popping in and basically being like, okay, you all are a tag team. Why don't we have you go up against The Hex? And so that's what we're going to be seeing. So that basically that's the backstory. And yeah, I was really excited to see the C-Stars. It's kind of my first time. So,
yeah, it was my first time seeing them too. And I was really impressed by them. And I'm always impressed by The Hex because I'll just never forget, you know, watching them both in the Mae Young Classic. I believe it was the very first one. As a matter of fact, they were in the first Mae Young Classic and being impressed by them individually. So the idea that the both of them came together and were and basically are this amazing and accomplished tag team was just amazing to see. And it looks like they're making the rounds because they were on Impact Wrestling. They were on NWA. And now here they are in Women's Wrestling Army. And
No, that's okay. I know. I know you got some stuff going on in the background, but as we get started in the match, we see The Hex come in. We see The Hex C-Stars come in and you see Allison, you know, she does her pinkies up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But C-Stars, you know, they got their little hook for, you know, the fish. The fish, is that what it's called? The hook? Is that what it's called? I don't know.
The fish hook?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I couldn't remember. So they were kind of going up against each other right at the top. And then we immediately went in. Now, we were told, Sam and Alyssa basically told us that, you know, Delmi and Ashley had were wrestling individually, their sisters. Then they came back together to, you know, form a tag team and that they don't have as much experience as The Hex. And I feel like we saw that a little bit. We kind of saw that at the beginning. Stephanie, what did you think? Did you feel like they had that did you feel like that their chemistry was as noticeable as The Hex, even though they are sisters and they've, you know, essentially known each other? What were your thoughts there?
My thoughts were the idea that I felt like Team C-Stars, you know, did have a little bit of chemistry, but it seemed like they were just a little bit disjointed. And even though they are sisters, they didn't exactly like operate as smoothly as The Hex did. Because there were moments where The Hex were, of course, utilizing each other's bodies as weapons, which is something that tag teams, that a really good tag team, really always knows how to do. And then they were, of course, isolating their opponents away from their partners. So that was kind of like par for the course for Allison Kay and Marty Bell here. And of course, they added in a lot of their hard hits and all of that. So that's basically what I saw from them. It felt like The Hex really were operating on all cylinders, but I don't want to take anything away from Team C-Stars either, because they really did try with their chemistry, but it just wasn't on the same level as The Hex's was.
I felt that too. There were, you know, definitely moments where I believe it was Ashley who got in, who was like getting her hits in off of Marty, and was really, they
The Hex is really good. They're really smart about isolating a wrestler from not being able to tag, you know, their partner. So they did a really good job of that here. And then there was a moment, I think, that the C-Stars were able to take advantage. And that was a little bit later on where Allison ended up on the wrong side, wasn't on their correct side of the ring or their corner. And so the ref was like, Marty cannot tag you in, which kind of messed her up a little bit because now she has to go running to her side. And now here we are, Marty is a little bit isolated. And so the C-Stars were really able to come in at that moment. Do you have anything to add with that at all?
Sorry, I was muting the mic because the wind is blowing. Basically, I don't necessarily have too much to add, but I will say that I was impressed with Team C-Stars in this match. Like, even though I'm not as familiar with them, I still want to see more of them. So maybe as I continue my WWA journey, we will see more of their growth as a team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. And I would, you know, I want to see more of them as well. So ultimately, I mean, obviously, you know, it was a really good match. It was great. But I think what Stephanie said was true, that though they are sisters, C-Stars are sisters, they could not, you know, outdo the Hex. And ultimately, you know, they ended up winning. The Hex, you know, wins once again. I am going to admit that the Hex, I really like them. So I'm always rooting for them, even though I do like the C-Stars. So I'm glad the Hex won. They continue on. And I'm excited to see who Maria sneaks in as next, as, you know, the tag team that's going to go up against them. So I'm really excited to see what that looks like. But I have no idea.
Yeah, me too. You did mention earlier about tag team titles. Do they have any gold with this promotion just yet?
No, they don't. Not just yet. So I'm sure that's something that they're going to be working on. And that's a good question, you know, that I would like to ask in the future. But yeah, so right now, I think the first season they were kind of battling for the belts and things like that, for their respective belts, like whatever belts they have from, you know, from other promotions. Right. But for now, for the season, I don't think so. I think, you know, just trading wins, but I would definitely love to see a WWA belt and what that would look like. That's a really good question. We should ask Maria, you know, what does that look like if that's happening? So,
or we could ask our special guest, you know, when he does join us.
I know, I didn't want to say anything because what if he's not able to join us? And, you know, and that'll be in the wind. We would have to do it next time, but yes, you're absolutely right. So next up, oh, sorry, I did not say this at the very end, because, you know, Women's Wrestling Army is very much about, for the most part, you know, really embracing whoever ends up, you know, losing the match. They, you know, try to embrace each other. And so that's what the Hex did here. They called the C-Stars back into the ring and just had a moment with them. Not everybody is like that, but the Hex usually is. And so I really appreciate that. I appreciate that spirit.
Yeah, we love sportswomanship here at Women's Wrestling Talk. But there is something I do want to address in terms of tag teams and what they said earlier before, which basically got this match started, and how the Hex brought up the idea that when it comes to women's tag teams, they have a tendency to throw certain teams together. Do you feel like that's something that's going on just in Women's Wrestling Army, or would you say it happens across the board in all of wrestling when it comes to women's tag teams? And in your mind, how can they improve that, Aisha?
That's a really good question. You know, as we've talked, so, you know, I'm still fairly new to all of this, but from what I've seen, it didn't really click until Allison and Marty said that. And then I started to think about the tag teams that I have seen, and I'm like, you know what? I feel like they have a point, right? So just from what I've seen, most of you know that, like, those who've watched, you know that I'm most familiar with AEW. So, like, seeing on that end, I'm like, and I know that there's been lots of talks about finally getting a women's tag, you know, thing going. And so hopefully that's going to be in the works. But yeah, I think that's been the case, where it's like, okay, let's throw you and let's throw you two together and kind of see what happens. And I've seen that and a few other promotions too. I think what's really interesting over in just from what I've seen a little bit with WWE, where you see Chelsea Green and you saw see Carmella, you kind of see them kind of forming a possible potential, you know, tag team. And I kind of like how they started that out. It wasn't just throwing them together. It was putting them in a room to see if they even have that kind of chemistry first.
Right.
Everybody else saw it. And then now here we go. And I'm like, So that's something that's just been obviously percolating in my mind. And as I become more familiar with these wrestlers and kind of what's happening across all different promotions, then I will have maybe a stronger opinion. But Stephanie, what about you? You know, as someone who's more experienced and who's kind of seen every, you know, every iteration and all the, you know, kind of these wrestlers bounce around to different promotions. What do you think about the tag teams, specifically the women's tag teams? Do you feel that way as well? Or do you have a different perspective?
Yeah, I have different perspectives depending on the promotion.
Okay.
When it comes to Impact Wrestling, like I mentioned with the Hex and how they've performed on there, they have done excellent when it comes to their tag team divisions. Of course, with the Knockouts tag division. And of course, even with just the Knockouts single division, they've done so much for women's equality that you could, you know, argue that there really isn't anything they're doing wrong on their part. And then number two, when it comes to WWE, there is a little bit of a struggle when it comes to their women's tag teams, because of course you have the idea of making all of these women's partnerships make sense, of course, because a lot of these women didn't come in, you know, as a tag team. They sort of came in as a single star. So to just slap these teams together, and you could argue that even for the men too, to slap them together just wouldn't necessarily just make sense. Like it would have to mean something cohesive for the viewer, you know, to be invested in it. And I feel like that's something that has been a little bit of a struggle with WWE, but I feel like they have more, like they have the capacity with their talent in order to make more happen with their tag division. So I'm not giving up hope on them just yet. Now, when it comes to AEW, they definitely have the bodies if they ever wanted to start a women's tag division. They have so many women that you see on a regular, who regular basis, even on Dark and even Dark Elevation, who could very well, you know, qualify for tag titles. But then with them, you also have the argument that maybe they have too many titles. But at the same time, it's like for the sake of equality, a part of me really feels that if they gave women's, like their women's division, a tag title situation, then that would be really good for them, and even also good for their Ring of Honor women as well. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it depends on various promotions. And but honestly, you know, there is room for positive growth, you know, between on all brands. So that's really how I feel about it as a more experienced and more seasoned wrestling fan, as you would say.
No, that's really awesome. And thank you for that. Again, I will definitely be keeping my eye on that because you are right. Like, especially with AEW, they have so many women wrestlers. They have so many that like that you just like are not being, of course, you know, we feel like not always being utilized. And, you know, having a tag division, women's tag team division, I think would definitely help usher those women and get them seen more. So, do you have anything else to add before we move on?
No, we can move on to the next match.
Yes, actually, before we do, let's quickly talk about this promo from Masha Slamovic, right?
So, oh, yeah.
They have been advertising, telling about this upcoming match with Masha and Jordan Blade and Jhenny Kai that's coming up in the next couple of weeks. And so, you know, we've kind of been getting their perspective. Do you want to talk a little bit more about this?
I do want to talk about this a little bit more, but maybe, just maybe, we should pop in our special guest to give in, to give his perspective a little bit, you know, as we talk about it.
I think we should. Bobby, are you there?
Question. Let's see.
Oh, Bobby, we hear your voice.
It looks like I'm loading.
Well, while you are loading, why don't we go ahead and, you know, why don't we go ahead and introduce you? You all know Bobby Cruz, right? Who is one of the co-founders of Women's Wrestling Army, also the voice of Ring of Honor, and has been in the business for, at this point, 20 20 years or so.
29.
Holy cow, that's how old I am.
I'm an old bastard.
So we are excited to have Bobby Cruz here with us. Once his video loads, you know, we'll get everything started.
Where is my video?
Say it again.
Where is my video?
I don't know.
I'm a blank box.
You are. And we love to see your face.
Yes.
Well,
It looked like something was trying to happen. Would you like to
shut my camera off? I turned it back on.
Would you like to reload, refresh, and come back in?
Let's try.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
That's perfectly fine.
Thank you.
Yes, technology. What are we gonna do?
I know, right? So while we're waiting for Bobby to come back in, go ahead, Stephanie. You were saying about Masha.
Yes. Okay. So this excited me because, first of all, Masha is someone that I've had the pleasure of interviewing twice for Women's Wrestling Talk in terms of at NWA Empower Weekend, which is where a lot of people's eyes, you know, were on her for the very first time. She hit a lot of amazing athletic moves in a battle royale for the Invitational. I believe it was a trophy on the line. But then after that, she was even, I was happy to have her on my show, The Hardy Wrestling Podcast. And then she's also a trainer at the Fallout Shelter in New York. Shout outs to them. So I'm very familiar with her. And just seeing her on this show and being as rough and tumble and as tough as she knows how to be was just, you know, amazing. Like, she's a very cut and dry woman. Like, she is about the business. Like, she wants to fight you and she wants to destroy her opponents. And I just love the energy that she brings no matter where she fights. So I was in love with this whole promo, and I can't wait to see this match with Jordan Blade and Jhenny Kai, mm-hmm. who I'm also familiar with. Like, I'm ready to see her fight these women. I'm pumped.
So am I. So last week we got a promo from Jordan, and where she talked about, you know, how she knows that she'll have to train differently, and that, you know, she's going to have to bring what she brings because she knows the powerhouses that are, you know, Masha and Jhenny. And so I love seeing these little bits from these wrestlers.
Yes.
You're getting more personal, right? You're seeing how they really feel about, you know, this upcoming match and like what they have to bring and their heart. And so I'm with you. I haven't seen a ton of what Masha has done, but I've always heard just nothing but great things. And so I'm really excited about this one too.
Yeah, such a tough lady. Mm-hmm. I just love, and anytime I hear that she's in a match, I'm just like, uh-oh, here she comes.
Yeah. And this is going to be really interesting. I think this is going to be really interesting. Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's going to be really hard hitting, lots of ground and pound. Like, it's just going to be amazing. I'm excited for her. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited that she's with Women's Wrestling Army in this way as well. Like, I'm pumped. Like, the sky's the limit for her. Yeah. I believe our guest is trying to pop back in.
Yeah, let's see if... I think we can hear you, Bobby. We still can't see you.
Oh my Lord. I have this awesome Women's Wrestling Army back too.
Oh.
This is so upsetting to me. All right, we can talk.
We can talk. Okay. So we're gonna talk.
Yes.
We get your video working soon. Let's talk.
Yes, Bobby, thank you so much for joining us on this after show for Women's Wrestling Army. How are you?
Well, thanks, guys.
Oh, did we lose you, Bobby? Uh-oh, did we lose? Oh.
We lost the sound?
You hear me?
We hear you now.
Oh, yeah, we can hear you now.
I don't have anything else. Let's just go with audio. So thanks for having me. Yeah, you guys, I just became aware recently of this post-show. Dave Hodgson, our ace producer up in Canada, had made Maria and I aware of this. And so I've been checking out some of your episodes kind of on demand on YouTube and so forth and past episodes. And thanks so much for the support of Women's Wrestling Army. I was blown away by what I saw, the whole recaps and the frames, you know, pictures of matches and discussing things in depth. It's been really good.
Yay. Thank you so much. Shay and I, Shay, who could not be here this week. So we have the wonderful Stephanie Hardy stepping in. You know, Shay and I, we are really excited about this. And so, and also, you know, you've been in contact with TK, and TK was really, you know, adamant. She's like, let's get on it. And we've had a really good time getting to know these wrestlers and getting to know Women's Wrestling Army. So, I don't know. Why don't we let's start. So we kind of, I know you've done plenty of interviews where you talk about, you know, your past and, you know, how you've, you know, kind of got into ring announcing and things like that. And so we're aware of that. I'm not going to have you recap that, but I am interested in, honestly, Women's Wrestling Army and how you and Maria had decided to just go about creating Women's Wrestling Army and kind of what that looked like and what it looked like building that up. Cause I imagine it probably wasn't the easiest thing. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it still isn't the easiest thing. Believe me, we're almost a year into it and it feels like it's been 10 years, but Yeah, it really came out of Maria and I working together in the 2021 Ring of Honor Women's Division. You know, obviously I'd known Maria for years in her prior stint in Ring of Honor, just as, you know, I was a ring announcer and she was a talent. And ironically, her husband, Mike, is like two towns over from me in this small town in Massachusetts. So I've known him since he literally started wrestling as a teenager. And wow. He ends up marrying someone who ends up becoming my partner. So it's like a really weird thing, but small world sometimes. But Maria and I, you know, I had been after the previous regime at Ring of Honor under Sinclair Broadcast Group for a while. I wanted to, and I told them, I said, just give me the women's division. I thought it wasn't being run correctly. I thought it wasn't being given ample time, focus, exposure, all that stuff. And so obviously we're going through COVID, and I was again bugging them as we were going to come back with some COVID TV tapings in Baltimore with no fans so we can get some fresh TV stuff out there. I said to them, you know, every other wrestling company doesn't only have women, you know, on their event, on their shows, but they're featuring them. And we need to do something. This is kind of ridiculous that we're, you know, one of the, say, five bigger companies around and we don't have a women's division with any exposure at all. And little did I know that Maria had been in talks with Ring of Honor about not only coming back to Ring of Honor with Mike, but also about doing something with the women's division. So we were basically, neither of us knew that the other was interested in producing a new women's division. So we ended up talking towards the end of 2020, and conversations went really well. And it just became like a seamless thing for the two of us. We work really, really well together. And I think the 2021 Ring of Honor Women's Division had, you know, was up until that point the best Ring of Honor Women's Division in the company's history, especially for a year. Obviously, the rug got pulled out from under us at the end of 2021. But it's great now. I know we're talking about Women's Wrestling Army, but of course I'm still with the Ring of Honor to see the focus back on a women's division with the new Ring of Honor weekly TV show. It main evented an episode recently with Athena defending against Willow Nightingale. So great to see some more that focus back on the women's division in Ring of Honor. But, you know, going back to Maria and I, that's really where it came from. And when we all found out about the hiatus or whatever you want to call it, Ring of Honor was going to go on at the end of 2021. Willow was one of them. A few others went to us and said, you guys need to do something. You know, you got to figure out something, do something together, do something on your own. And that's really where the idea for Women's Wrestling Army came from.
Okay, so it's abundantly clear that this idea to start Women's Wrestling Army came from the motivation to give women more of an opportunity, and you weren't seeing enough of it. So essentially, you created your opportunity to give women more.
Yeah, that's really what it was. And mm-hmm. I will say that under, you know, the executive producer, whatever your title he had, Hunter Johnston in Ring of Honor, once we got going in 2021 with it, he pretty much let us do what we wanted with the women's division. And, you know, obviously, the tournament was announced at the Best in the World pay-per-view and the TV taping. Subsequent to that, we started taping the tournament and then was given the semi-main event spot on Death Before Dishonor 2021 for the women's division final, the Quest for Gold tournament, where Roxy won the title. So, you know, I was very appreciative. I know Maria was too. We were very appreciative of that. So we really, you know, we got commitment from having matches every so often on TV. You know, we asked for more exposure on the actual Ring of Honor TV show. We got that. And with Hunter, we were never lied to. Anything we asked for, we got. We tried to be reasonable about it. And I think that was a good working relationship there. It was Ring of Honor, but it was also a separate entity because you're dealing with a whole different locker room, a whole different roster, a completely different thing. And now you're trying to mesh it into, you know, the live stream events on Honor Club, the TV show, obviously, pay-per-view. And I couldn't ask for it to go any better than it did in 2021.
Wow. So, I mean, I guess on that note, you were saying that, you know, still not the easiest thing. Kind of what challenges have you faced in creating this new promotion and how are you and Maria working through them? If there are any.
The wrestling stuff has been great. The talent has been great. We've had talent want to work for us. We've had talent reaching out because we haven't taped in a while, asking, you know, when are you taping again? They're trying to hold dates for us and not take other bookings, which, you know, it's so the talent has been great. And that was the whole reason we wanted to do this, coming off of what we did in 2021, because we had such a blast working with the talent, producing things, giving more opportunities to the talent and more exposure to talent that deserves it, because there's a ton of talent out there. That stuff's all been great. And we've upgraded our production, even behind the scenes. The TV tapings that have been airing now for several weeks. Mark Brown was our director. He was the director for Ring of Honor previously. So we brought him on board for the first time. We had a cameraman who had been with Ring of Honor previously. We brought him on board to have an experienced cameraman on the floor. We upgraded our, they call it a fly pack, our production system with the live switching and audio and all of that. So we're very happy with all of that stuff. It's the business part of the thing that Maria and I hate. And we wish we could just hire someone to run the business part of it, because it's a pain in the ass. It's very difficult. You know, when we first started talking about this about a year ago, I think we thought, maybe not to speak for Maria, and maybe not to use the word, would have been easier, but it would have caught on a lot more. But, you know, our first outings were on Brand Army, which is a subscription app. And they get the episodes and still do on Sundays before Pro Wrestling TV gets them on Wednesday. And, you know, this exclusive content in there. But it's tough because there's so many options out there. I mean, you see what's going on now with people canceling Disney Plus or Netflix and all these other things. So the partnership for Pro Wrestling TV became a really good thing because it's free. Try and drive that home all the time. They can go to Pro Wrestling TV and just watch for free anytime. Our entire library, which will soon hit, I believe, 32 episodes, is on there. And so it's been really good. We asked for Wednesday nights at 7 because that was our time slot we had on the Ring of Honor YouTube channel with the old Women's Division Wednesdays we used to do. So we were able to keep that. And obviously, our show runs between, say, 35, 45 minutes. Plenty of time to watch that, go to the bathroom, grab a snack and a beer or whatever, and sit down for Dynamite at 8. So, you know, it's that, all of that stuff has gone well. It's just the business part of it is just a real pain in the ass. And, you know, we're learning. I feel like we're learning things every day. With that stuff, Maria has been working very hard recently. It's tough, too, because she lives in Illinois and I'm in Massachusetts. And, obviously we saw each other recently down at Universal for the Ring of Honor TV tapings, but, you know, it's going to be probably 3 weeks to 4 weeks before we see each other in person again. So, you know, we can have phone calls, we can have texts, but to discuss things in person is really good sometimes. Because I think in phone calls and texts, at least me, I'll forget to say things or bring things up or ask questions. But in person, I generally don't do that. I remember what I want to say because she's right in front of me. So, yeah, that's, you know, we'll see. We're not going anywhere. There are things that, you know, being looked into as far as future business opportunities, future taping dates, and all of that. That's the stuff Maria's been working on the business end, having some meetings and so forth. So hopefully there'll be some news soon.
Well, that's great. Now, something that I do want to ask you is what makes you the most passionate about the brand of Women's Wrestling Army and its growth?
I think, Maria brings it up when she talks about my involvement in the Ring of Honor Women's Division previously, running it with her, and then this obviously is, I have two daughters, mm-hmm. and both very athletically involved. They're both in college now. They both play college sports. But when they were younger, I would coach their softball teams, ended up becoming a member of the softball executive board and then becoming the president of the league. Like, I was that involved with their stuff growing up. And so Maria, like she says, I view Women's Wrestling Army and our roster kind of like as a fatherly figure. It's probably correct. You know, it's a lot of coaching, you know, a lot of producing. I enjoy the interaction with the talent. We have a great relationship. I always, you know, say to myself when things, you know, obviously there's times to be really serious and you have to be really serious, but there's other times you're like, you know, we aren't like curing cancer. I wish we were, you know, but we're not, you know, and this is pro wrestling is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be entertaining. You're supposed to have fun doing it. If you're miserable, you probably shouldn't be doing it, just like any other job. Mm-hmm. So try and keep that in mind. We have a very laid back locker room. Even our TV tapings days, which are very long, we try and keep it as tight as possible. I mean, we do shows. We taped five episodes per night at our last tapings. And we were done. Ooh. We were done between 2.5 hours to 2 hours, 45 minutes. And you can see, you know, you watch our episodes, we aren't having 2-minute matches. You know, we give the women plenty of time to go out there and do their thing and evolve stories or whatever else is going on. And plus, you know, the promos and the backstage stuff. So, you know, but we, anyone's attending our tapings, we keep it really tight because we realize they're long days and nights for the talent, but also for us and the camera people, production people. You know, it is the most fulfilling year. You know, I've been with Ring of Honor full time as a ring announcer since November of 2004. And the most fulfilling year for me personally was 2021 by far. Because I obviously kept doing the ring announcing stuff, but what we did with the women's division and the work there and working with the talent, like I absolutely loved it. It was a ton of work, obviously, a ton of phone calls. Again, Maria and I live far from each other. So a lot of phone calls, a lot of texts, and, you know, preparing TV episodes, all that stuff. But it was personally the most rewarding year for me. In my years in Ring of Honor. So I think that's why I just want to keep doing it. I don't know if I want to do it for another 10 years, but for now, yeah, definitely. I don't see any desire to have an end in sight right now.
Okay. I feel like you said in an interview like years ago that you didn't want to do it for another 10 years. And I feel like it's been.
Yeah, but that's my announcing thing. I think that was my ring announcing thing. I could see my work with Maria and, you know, booking and whatever we call I do in Women's Wrestling Army. I could see that extending past my announcing career, I guess, mm-hmm. is what I would say.
Okay. All right. You know what? It's fascinating that you said, you know, about your daughters and how you started coaching, you know, with softball and how I think that's awesome only because not only, but also like I have sisters, younger sisters who played softball and how that in particular really, I believe helped my parents really be, you know, ingratiate themselves in that. Right. So there's something about, you know, seeing your kids in those sports and then wanting to go ahead and coach. Like, I think then that helps propel and have a more appreciation, I think specifically for women in sports, where a lot of the times we, you know, we don't always have like the male support in that way. So that's, you know, that's awesome that you were able to do that. And that that's something that you're advocating, you know, then and even now with Women's Wrestling Army. So.
Yeah, I think it's been a big part of my desire to be a part of producing women's wrestling and giving more opportunities to athletes that deserve it, you know, so that's been really cool.
Okay. Now, speaking of, you bring that up, is there, and I don't want to put you on the spot, so if you don't have anybody, you can just say that, like, who are you most, is there one or two wrestlers that you are, like, most excited about that are coming up on Women's Wrestling Army or that are not currently on or that have been on? Anyone that you're particularly excited about?
I've been blown away since we started with a few standouts. And I would say Queen Aminata is one of them. I was not familiar with her very much. Her name did come up when we were talking about putting together the 2021 Ring of Honor Women's Championship Tournament. But we did not go in that direction at that time. And to see and work with her, the only problem with her is every time we see each other, she likes to like grab, a, like put me in a headlock and take a selfie. So if you ever look at her Twitter account, you'll see that. And I usually have either a pain, a face of pain or leave me alone, one of those. But she's really cool, tremendous athlete, tremendous wrestler, you know, knows her. I hate to even call it a character. I would rather call it a persona because she is what she is, you know? So yeah, she's been great. Janai Kai has been another one that has really stood out. We had brought Janai in a little bit in 2021 to Ring of Honor, but obviously with Women's Wrestling Army, there's been more focus on her and she stepped right up to the plate and hit home run after home run. And then, you know, Trish Adora. Trish Adora, we had in the Ring of Honor. We had her in the championship tournament. She went deep in the tournament. A great story with her Armed Forces career and everything. She's a great person, tremendous wrestler. And so we've been able to give her some higher profile spots as well. And then there's, you know, women that, so like Atasha Steeles or the Hex. That, you know, the Hex we worked with in Ring of Honor, but Tasha hadn't been in Ring of Honor for several years now, obviously a big part of Impact in the Knockouts division. We were able to bring Tasha in and do something a little bit different with her. And she has been great as well. And was, if everyone saw recently, you know, she's a big part of elevating Maserati, you know, and that was the whole point of putting the two of them together, even though it was brief. You know, we like Maserati a lot. We brought Maserati into Ring of Honor, but her exposure hasn't been really, really out there as much. We wanted more people to see her and know what she was about because she's in Vegas, and the Vegas wrestling scene is not as big as, say, the East Coast or some other places in the country. So to pair her up with Tasha, mentor and a student kind of thing, just elevated her stock, and I think it worked out really well, and I think it was a nice little story there. And you know, and then you have others that I'm not familiar with at all. We've never worked with before that we've brought in that have you know, really shown for themselves well and appeared with us multiple times. So it's an evolving thing, you know. I think you always have your core roster. And then you're always filling in with the new up-and-comers or, you know, someone you get recommended. You know, we got recommended Missa Kate by Maxi Impaler, actually, last year. And I was not familiar with Missa very, very much. Max sent me a text one day, and they said, can you check out Missa Kate? So I went on YouTube and said, looked at Missa Kate. And I said, okay, yeah, there's something there. And we see what's going on with Missa Kate these days in Women's Wrestling Army. Quite the troublemaker, quite the rabble rouser, not only in the locker room, but with fans and her. I mean, she's a pill, that's for sure. So, you know, it's that kind of stuff. A lot of it comes from recommendations as well.
That's funny. And Stephanie, I'll let you take it over. That's funny that you said Max sent a text. Like, I can't imagine Max the Impaler sending a text message. So that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's a little crazy.
To rephrase that, I doubt that they actually sent the text themselves. It was probably Rose on their behalf that sent the text. But it was from a number that said Max. So.
Yeah, that's amazing. Well, Bobby, this is going to end our interview portion of this after show. So before we go into the rest of the after show, we have to pay the bills a little bit. So we'll be right back.
Hey, peeps, TK Trinidad here, boss lady of Women's Wrestling Talk. And I want to say thank you so much for watching, because you've got millions of options. Plus, you don't have to worry about sharing your password to check us out. But while you're here, hopefully you know we have so many more shows to watch, like Turnbuckle Glam, Raw Post Show, WOW Post Show, AEW Dynamite Post Show, Women's Wrestling Army Post Show, NXT Post Show, Impact Wrestling Post Show, AEW Rampage and SmackDown Live Post Show, On the Scroll, ROH Post Show, WWT Live, plus all of our interviews with the hottest women's wrestlers in the game. Make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe. Check out our website at www.talkpod.com and follow us on all social media platforms at www.talkpod, and make sure to spread the word. That means send this to the group chat. Yes, even the person with the green bubble. Thanks again so much for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Ciao for now.
Yes, yes, of course. Watch all of our programming here on Women's Wrestling Talk. Thanks for that beautiful commercial, TK, our boss lady. So now we're going to transition into talking about more of the show. So the next match that we were about to get into,
really quick,
well, before
we do,
yes,
are we saying, Bobby, are we saying goodbye to you? Are you going to stick around?
I will stick around. I'll talk about the show with you.
Okay, yes,
that's great. I didn't want to, you know, send you off or things like that. So.
And you tell me when we're at the very end, and I have an invitation for you.
Oh,
okay.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get back into it. Okay, so we have talked about the upcoming match with Jhonnai Kai. So why don't we go ahead and get into this match between Gia Scott and Blair Onyx now. Woo! I will just say for myself, I do have a mild case of arachnophobia, but it's not that bad. It's not what was going on with Gia, but the fact that Gia also is afraid of spiders, we can relate on that note. Stephanie, what did you think?
I thought this was funny because I'm not afraid of spiders, but my mother is. So she has a mild case of arachnophobia as well. So watching Gia, you know, this amazing athlete who calls herself the greatest damn woman, be afraid of Blair Onyx, who has the persona of a spider, which is really funny, but still very relatable at the same time. But she did power through in the end. You know, sometimes life is about facing fears. And that's exactly what she did in this match.
Bobby, are you afraid of spiders? Do you have arachnophobia? Are you good?
I don't consider myself having arachnophobia. I would assume, like, if I was out in the desert of Arizona and there's this big furry one or something, then it'd probably be a problem. But it's funny because both of my daughters, especially my older daughter, Sarah, they hate spiders. Sarah would come out of her room for me to go get a spider that she found in her room.
Oh.
But the spider was dead. She wouldn't even, like, pick up with a tissue or something a dead spider. Like, never mind alive. So, very interesting. And, maybe Gia's in the same category as my daughters.
And so am I. Just go ahead and add me to that category because I can't. So back to the match. So we saw Blair using her flexibility to scare Gia, which was hilarious that Gia had to just like take herself out of the ring for a moment. She had to collect herself. But overall, I really enjoyed this match. I really liked the confidence of Gia Scott. I'm not super, super familiar with Blair, right? And so I'm more familiar with Gia. And I really like this pairing because Blair, you could tell that she would use that confidence. She's like, I know I can scare Gia. I know I can get her. And I'm going to do what I can. And so I thought that was really good on her end. Stephanie, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought that was really good too, because usually the best and most mystical wrestlers, you know, utilize whatever it is that scares their opponent to get inside of their mind. And it's like, you've already beaten them with that. But the thing about Gia is that she was able to, you know, power out of that and fight back. And I was impressed with Blair Onyx, because this was my first time seeing her as well. So I was just like, okay, so watching her and her hard hits along with her flexibility, you know, being utilized in that way was just really amazing. I enjoyed this match. But with Gia, who is someone that I have had the pleasure of calling action for Black Girl Magic 2022, you know, watching her in the ring and watching her toughness and her confidence, you know, with beating up on Blair was just really amazing to see on this type of platform. So I was thoroughly impressed throughout this match, and Gia came out with a win. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm. She sure did. As you can see, oh, there we go. Gia came out victorious. Bobby, question for you. I don't know. Are you there for every taping?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess if you recall from this match, like, how was the crowd? Because I'm always curious, you know, kind of what we see as opposed to like what the energy was feeling like during this match or this taping.
Let's see. I have two answers. One is a lie. It was amazing. And number two, the honest answer, I don't remember. It was over these tapings, we did 15 matches per day. So I really don't remember specific crowd for specific match. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
No, that's okay. I figured that might be the answer, but I thought I'd ask it just in case, because you're right. Like you said, you record a ton. And unless the crowd is particularly wild or particularly, you know, memorable in that way, then, you know, I wouldn't expect you to remember. But Gia came out as the winner of this one. And I'm excited to see where she goes from here. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, Gia's on a little bit of a roll lately.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She sure is. So why don't we go ahead and talk about this promo with Jhenai Kai. And Stephanie and I were talking about this before we hopped on and about how much we like Jhenai. Stephanie, I'll let you go ahead and take it away.
Yes. So what we were saying, Bobby, is the fact that I was telling Aisha that I'm very familiar with Jhenai Kai as well, because I did see her in Battle Club Pro, and just watching her evolve, her evolution as a wrestler has just been amazing. And with a lot of her hard hits and her quickness with her training in Muay Thai and multiple martial arts, it's like she just has this very tough exterior on the outside. But watching this promo with Women's Wrestling Army really sort of gave me more of an inner look at the person, and I really enjoyed seeing that from her, because every time you see her, she's always ready to fight, you know, and ready to go into combat. So seeing her and her mental state going into this match that she's going to have with Jordan Blade and Masha Slamovich was really amazing to see.
She's like a silent assassin, like she's,
right.
Yeah. These sit downs are great. This is where Maria really shines. This is Maria is really good at producing the promos and these kind of sit down interviews. These were her idea for this match, and it's just really, really good stuff. In depth, obviously, we're showing clips of them. You know, we're not showing the full interviews, but as we get closer to the match coming up on, it'll air on March 29th on Pro Wrestling TV. You know, we will on social media put more and more of footage of the actual interviews out there. But just really good stuff. You get to learn about the athletes, you know, and you, Masha, I think, Masha kind of blew me away with her just
you know, I'm going to beat the hell out of both of them. And, you know, I hit the hardest, and it's going to be a long night for them and all that other stuff. But, you know, Janai and Jordan previously, a little more subdued. But I also found it very interesting that Janai was really talking about maybe disadvantages she has in the match as far as a ground game and so forth. So really interesting stuff, like a scouting report as to what she's looking to do.
You are right. And I'm really excited to see, you know, how this match turns out, because we have different abilities, different energies. It's going to be good. I'm really excited about it. So why don't we go ahead and jump into our very last match, and I will go ahead and do the setup, and Stephanie can get right into it. So the last time we saw Billie Starks, she had just defeated Blair. And but before she did her pin, we heard Max's music, which kind of shook Billie a little bit. And so she confronts Amy backstage, and Amy's like, Max is hungry. And then we see Billie Starks on the ground, poor girl. Now, my question was, we were told that it was Max. That's what we were told. But for me, I'm really of the mindset that it was Amy, because, you know, Amy's the one, she's kind of been the aggressor, and she's supposed to be the mouthpiece for Max. But I'm like, Amy, I think you're the one that did this. So, so we get started. We got Billie, we got Max, and of course, we have Amy. Stephanie, go ahead, take it away.
Yeah, so I really did think that Amy, since this was my first time seeing Amy, I was just like, oh my gosh, who is this lady? She looks very devious, right? But, you know, she really was the mouthpiece for Max. And she just had this mysterious look to her. But, you know, as, you know, she, after Amy sort of just stood to the side and let Max the Impaler do what they were going to do, that was pretty much, you know, a done deal. And Billie Starks, you know, proved that she was very resilient and also very brave in terms of trying to face her. And she did a lot, and she had a lot of quickness, which went up against Max the Impaler's brute strength. and it's kind of hard to fight someone like Max the Impaler, who has so much strength, has so much, so many hard hits and all of the above, could very well use all of their body parts to just knock you down, and you really have no choice but to just take it as punishment, right? But mm-hmm. Billie Starks really did, you know, try her best with all of her high flying moves and all of that. There was even one point where Max acted like they were going to run into Billie and the chairs, and Billie moved out of the way. And I was just like, oh, this is crazy. She turned Max into a bowling ball. But after that point, you know, the rest of the match was really good. I enjoyed it. But Max just proved that they are that person, and they wound up defeating Billie, and Billie tried her best, but it just wasn't good enough against Max the Impaler. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, like I was telling you before, that, you know, I am a fan. I'm terrified, but also a fan of Max the Impaler. And I'm always curious to see how each wrestler is going to come to the ring and how they are going to defeat Max, right? Like, it has to be something other than strength, because that's already a foregone conclusion. Max has that brute strength and that period. So you have to find a different way to figure out how to defeat them. And Billie, you know, she did her best. You know, she had her flips, she had her kicks and things like that. But ultimately, you know, that was no, you know, we saw the spear here, and I think that was it. for Billie. But also, of course, yes, the size difference. But also Billie, you know, is very young, one of the youngest wrestlers we have, right? So so I think that is something that was working against her as well. Bobby, question for you. Now, when you all see Max, how is that energy? Because I'm afraid. Just watching on my computer. So how is that in the locker room? How is that backstage?
It's a very brief interaction. Just making sure that they have made it there and ready for the match. Okay, that's it. Ready to go. Hit the music and go. Not a lot of talking, not a lot of chit chat about, hey, how's things or anything like that. Yeah, it's straight to business. And yeah, talking about Billy, I, you know, was live tweeting when the episode aired on Pro Wrestling TV, and it was the typical David versus Goliath type match here. And I thought Billy did great. You know, it's it was that story actually got thrown together day of, believe it or not. So you want a little inside stuff? Here we go. So
of course.
So Maria, ever since the Ring of Honor days, Maria says that on day of show, I'm the boss. Like, you know, there needs to be one point person as far as questions from talent, booking stuff, whatever. You know, so Maria's doing her things, producing the promos and interviews. You know, obviously when something comes up where I need to make a change or something, out of respect, because she's my business partner, I run it by Maria. But when it comes down to it, she says, the day of, I need to be the point person to handle all this stuff. So we were originally going to do match number two with Max and LaFisto, which we had done on our previous taping at Logan Square in Chicago that ended in a locker room ending melee. No finish, double disqualification type match. So we were going to come back with that. And LaFisto never made it to the last taping. And again,
oh, wow.
you feel like you're dealing with weather issues maybe. We were in Chicago, but Chicago weather wasn't the problem there. Her connection was in New York, and there was heavy winds and everything. So she never made it. So we had to call an audible that day and kind of like, okay, what do we do with Max? Because we only had Max for one of the two nights. And trying to decide what we're going to do and kind of looked at it. And that's where kind of the story with Billy popped in and made sense. And we were able to tell that story because we only had Billy one night as well. So you saw the stuff with, you know, Billy, you know, on the top, Max's music hitting, the backstage interaction with Amy, Billy being laid out backstage, and then the actual match, which ended our first night of tapings with Max and Billy. We did that all of that in one night, and I thought it was a cool little story. I thought it was entertaining. I thought it made sense. It was two complete opposites, obviously, and it was some really good stuff. But we never were able to do to this point Max and LaFisto again. That certainly is on the list of matches when we come back for our next tapings. But yeah, it was that's really how this whole Max, Billy, Amy story happened.
Wow. Wow. You know what? For something that was, I don't want to say thrown together, but something that, you know, that you had to think quick on your feet about, I think that it's really fascinating. And I want to see, I hope that moving forward, we get more of that because you are right. It's a really nice, like David and Goliath type of deal. So I would love to see, you know, what Billy has in store, what she comes back with, if she wants to come back and challenge Max again. I'd love to see it.
It would make total sense in real life and in storyline wise that Billy isn't done with Max. Why would, you know, Billy gave Max a run for their money, came up short the first time, but you know, with who Billy is, why wouldn't Billy want another chance? You know,
there you go. So that is the end of our after show. I think Stephanie had to pop out. But before we go, Bobby, you said that you had something you'd like, I don't know what it is. So I'd love to hear.
All the interviews I've done over the years that had video, this is the best I've ever looked. So I thank you guys for this black box that I am. Just whatever. As long as you can hear me. That's all I do is talk anyway, right? That's all I do.
That's all right. We can hear you.
But yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I'm really, we're appreciative of the support that you guys have given Women's Wrestling Army. And in the interim between when our final episode of The Last Tapings airs soon, and when we get to our next taping, to be determined, we will be doing some stuff that we used to do in Ring of Honor with the women's division when we had some time gaps as well, where we do some watch-along episodes with talent and so forth, or during Ring of Honor time, we had Maria's talk show that she had named Beyond the Bells, which we kind of carried over to Women's Wrestling Army. So we'll have some of that stuff, some talking about episodes, some talking during episodes. And I would like to invite you guys to come on for an episode. To me, this is the official post show. But you can do a post show about the post show, basically, and just jibber jab about Women's Wrestling Army and talk about different things. You know, we'll obviously have some matches or clips or whatever we can get into. So I would love you guys to come on and do something like that with us as well. And we'll plug your thing here. Don't worry. And
thank you so much. No, of course. Yes. The answer is yes. We would love to.
So awesome. So we'll be in touch soon as far as once we get going with that. An episode coming up is actually just has Maria talking about Women's Wrestling Army and what we've done to this point, as well as talking about the upcoming three-way. Actually, it's a huge double main event episode on March 29th on Pro Wrestling TV. It's Queen Aminata versus Sky Blue, who has been doing great things on AEW. And then the match that everyone knows about, because we keep ramming it down people's throats, is Masha, Janai, and Jordan in that triple threat match, which is really good stuff. So after that, we'll be looking to do some of these interactive episodes, and we'll definitely be in touch with you guys. And please tell Shay hi for me. I am such a fan of her breakdowns. Of how she breaks down the episodes as well. So I'm a fan and she's not here, but that's okay.
That's okay. Because then, you know, when we go on your show, you'll be able to talk to her. And then we would definitely always love to have you back. So, So whenever you want to come back, please let us know. But thank you so much for that offer. Again, we would love to. And we are excited to talk about Women's Wrestling Army. And, it's just been awesome. And it's been awesome for me. Really quick, I do like to let people know that I am fairly new to wrestling, very, very new. Within the last 6 months, I started watching. So for the very first time. So it's been quite a journey just to be able to get to know the business, to get to know these wrestlers. So it's been really cool. So I'm really excited.
Well, you've done a great 6 months getting wrestling knowledge and understanding. And so really impressive there. Again, I'll be quick, but, you know, I'm sure everyone does already, but support wrestling, support women's wrestling specifically. That's where my heart is, obviously, and my bank check, bank book. Oh, there's no check yet, believe me. But, a cheap plug, of course, to check out Ring of Honor and our new weekly TV show, because, and I reference that specifically because there is such a focus being put on the Ring of Honor women's division again. Great athletes, the nastiest, meanest champion I've ever seen in all my years in Ring of Honor, and Athena. Really good stuff. So,
yes.
Thanks for the time. And I'm sure we'll chat.
And then just before you go, I mean, obviously, would you like to plug where we can, other than Ring of Honor, you want to plug your Twitter if you want to follow you on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm a very boring tweeter, but if anyone wants to, it's literally just at Real Bobby Cruz, C-R-U-I-S-E, not C-R-U-Z. Easy to find. Yeah, I'm kind of boring as far as Twitter goes. That's about it. I really just talk about Ring of Honor and Women's Wrestling Army. So,
okay.
You know, they can go there and see me retweet things.
All right, Bobby, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you joining us. Even though we can't see you, we can hear you. And we're just happy you're here. This was really awesome.
Thank you for the time.
All right. Have a good day. We'll talk soon.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. So that is it. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Women's Wrestling Army After Show. A special thank you to Stephanie Hardy. Make sure you check her out. Hardy Wrestling Podcast. Oh, I wish you would have left me with the actual stuff so I can, you know, actually properly plug that. And thanks again to Bobby for being here. So until next time, next Thursday. Actually, before I go, I do want to point out that Bobby did mention Ring of Honor. We do have an after show with our honorably honorably Dynamite. Oh shoot, see, I messed that up. Mika, Al, y'all know what the deal is. Check them out. New episode of Ring of Honor today, I believe, that they will be reviewing. So please check them out. They're really awesome. So on behalf of Women's Wrestling Army After Show, my name is Aisha. Thank you for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Peace, y'all.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet. Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling show on the planet.